Just a smile.
My name is Bob Madden. And I'm excited today because I serve a God who creates excitement. And every day in recovery is sweeter than the day before. I thank God for the process and I praise Him for the pain. Pain is discomfort created by disorder. So when I'm in pain, I mean something's out of order. But I found out through the 12-step process that pain produces miracles and pain is a prerequisite for promotion. At the end of my active addiction, I was homeless for 7 years. I had 2 cases in court and I was boosting and selling food stamps. Living in Randall shelter, 6 o'clock wake up, 7 o'clock departure, walking around in the Psalms, that's S-O-M-E, so others might eat. Sending that long line, eat grits eggs, black coffee, no sugar, no cream, a hard donut and a piece of fruit. Get on the outside and get on the eviction crew so I can make $5 eviction, putting people out of their house or their apartments that 9 times out of 10 were suffering from the same disease I was suffering from, the disease of addiction. One disease, one message. The disease of addiction. Anybody in here remember what it's like to be on it? Ain't nothing in this world worse than being on it. Let's remember, let's go down memory lane just for a minute. We ain't gonna be long. But being on it, it just sounds dirty. You know he on it, don't you? You know she on it, don't you? Look at him walking down the street. You can hear old people on their porch talking. Look at him, he on that stuff. She on it. You know he on it, don't you? Homeboy just got out of jail. You know he back on it, don't you? I thought he was doing all right. Now he back on it. You what? For real? Man, you lying. Square beans? He back on it? He on it, man. He on it. I got tired of being on it. One disease, one message. I got tired of being on it, man. Geeking with no cigarettes. I got tired of being on it, man. Nowhere to go. Don't nobody want to be bothered with you. I had $10 one day, and my best friend wouldn't serve me. I had $10. I had $10, man. And he said, Bob, you on it, man. And I'm tired of seeing you like that. No, I'm not serving you, but I got $10. A whole 10 by myself. The disease of addiction. I had $10 and he wouldn't serve me. On it. All money was cop money. No real haircuts. Why every time the track house, somebody always got some clippers with a number one blade? Tell me something. Homemade haircuts. Boosted clothes, wear them, sell them. You ever wear something and try to sell it? Because I had an image, but I was on it. I got tired of chasing a ghost. Suffering from cocaine psychosis. That's a clinical term. Meaning that you smoke so much, you start getting hysterical. Thinking you see people that's dead came back to life. I got tired of chasing the ghost. And the only way you can stop chasing the ghost, you got to get filled with another ghost. I ain't mean to hit y'all that hard, I'm sorry. But I got tired of chasing the ghost. Got tired of being on it, man. Got tired of eating in soup kitchens. Standing in line with people that already lost their mind. One man in particular, always talking to himself in line. Everybody hungry, he talking to himself. Every day, lost his mind because he was on it. One disease, one message. The first message I ever heard was, do your thing. Grew up in the ghetto, lifestyle everywhere, do what you want to do, say what you want to say, wear what you want to wear, be who you want to be. It's us against the world, first message.
Goldie said, I got a right to live my life the way I want to live. And I said, yeah, that sounds good. That's right, Goldie. Because I'm a rebel. Got tired of being on it. The disease of addiction. And then my mother was an addict. All roads lead to home. Let's talk recovery today. Not only do I got the disease, but she got it too. But I'm so young, I can't understand. She got a story too. But that's my mother. And no man want his mother to be on it, because you know what we do with women that's on it. Let's talk in here. But when I was selling drugs, but when my mother got on it, now I'm mad. Because it changed when it hit your house. And ain't no anger worse than a son and his mother on it. Ain't no anger compared to that. So now I'm mad because my mother on it, because I was young, I was arrogant, I talk a lot of trash, I was bold, I was boastful, I was popular, I was well known, everybody knew me, but then my mother got on it and that had to humble me. Now I got to be quiet. Can't brag like I used to, can't joke like I want to, because all you got to do is say something about my mother and that shut me down. So now I'm an introvert, but I'm an extrovert, but I'm forced to be an introvert. So now I'm confused because now I ain't being myself. So my mother gets pregnant by somebody, I don't even know who it is, because she used to trick, and I was so angry. Sometimes she'd be on the corner, we'd be walking down the street, be like, man, that Bobby, that's my mother over there. And I act like I don't even see her. So she get pregnant by somebody, and she stopped getting high. Watch this now. Had the baby, and I remember coming in the house one day and seeing my mother in the kitchen cooking. And you know when a woman gets pregnant, they start glowing and looking good because she stopped getting high. And I just stopped and looked at her. And I was like, yeah, there go my mother right there. Felt good, man. I just felt so good. And then my mother had my little sister, and 2 weeks later, my mother had a stroke, went into a coma and died. What's the message now? Living in public housing, my name wasn't on the lease. That's how I became homeless. My aunt took my little sister, and that's when the animalistic behavior kicked in. Because now I ain't got nothing to lose. Out there, selling drugs, bag full of pistols in the house, living with my older sister, baby father. All we did was sell drugs. That was it. Because when I'm in something, I'm in it. When I was out there, I was out there. I ain't never worked nowhere. All I did was sold drugs, got high, and did whatever I wanted to do. But I was angry. Because now, where God at? Where is God in that? What's the message in that? You get her clean, we start getting back, and then you take her. What's the message now? And now I got the disease in full blown, unstoppable. Arrested at some point, and recovery is impossible. Let's talk recovery. Had 2 charges in court. Assault charge, because I ain't no bad guy, but if you jump on me, I'm going to get you off me. I mind my business, I don't mess with nobody, but if you jump on, don't let this fool taste fool you. If you mess with me, we going to handle it. And I got another charge, possession with intent to distribute. Because we always got good intentions. We're going to bag this up, and we're going to sell it. But let's try it first. Let's see if this is what they said it is. And y'all know how it goes. Bags start getting smaller. Start out selling dimes, end up selling rhymes. And then I got caught up in the court system. It's confusing me. I got the disease, but I don't know it. I just think I'm getting punished because of my behavior. No, I wasn't innocent. No, I was low enough to walk under a snake with a top hat on. I know I wasn't all that good. I wasn't all that bad. But I didn't know I had the disease of addiction.
benediction. So I go to court, standing in front of the judge, and he look at all my urine, all of them dirty, and then he look at me. I'm like, what you expect? I'm an addict. I'm on it. How you gonna get a clean urine? That don't make no sense. I'm on it, and you want me to get your clean urine? How you do that? How do you get a clean urine? Somebody tell me. Don't worry, I'm awake. How do you get a clean yard? I'm on everything. So I'm like, they playing with my head. I'm on it. And you expect me to give you a clean yard with no help? So then my Samaritan started going to meetings because they made me go. And see, psychiatry, it's all right. But if you really want to get restored to sanity, get some handcuffs on you. Handcuffs work better than any PhD. Because handcuffs will make you start examining your life. Man, I got to get my life together, man. I knew I shouldn't have went around that corner. Well, I was messing with them anyway. I know them niggas ain't caring about me. I know she told on me. I know she was snitching. Something told me not to serve that dude. Well, I'll serve him. I knew he was a jump out. I could feel it. Handcuffs restore us to sanity. Come on, talk to me in here. I know I ain't the only one. Come on. Come on. You can be high, get locked up, and your high gone instantly. Handcuffs restore us to sanity. Handcuffs and red and blue sirens. You will come down quickly. Be twisted. See the handcuff, hear the red lights. I was high, but first, what happened? You still high? I ain't high no more. Was that good diamond? They said that was the brown. They only put a 2 on it. They said that was China white. Fish scale? Did you still high? So I get in recovery. And I meet my sponsor, same sponsor I got today, Frankie L. Love him to death. Love him to death. So now, we got to look at the disease on another side. And start looking at the message. He said, Rob, there's no defense against humility. I mean, he had it. He was glowing. He was shining. He just looked different. He said, there's no defense against humility. But it's all the defense in the world against arrogance. He said, you got to stop fighting first, Bob. The first admission must come from you. I had to admit I had the disease. Because if you don't admit you got it, you ain't going to hear the message. So once I made that first admission, that's when I got free. Okay, I'm messed up and I need some help. Man, help me out. Show me the way. He said, recovery in the steps. I said, well, where they at? Because I remember, I don't want to be on it no more. And when you're tired of being on it, ain't no more fighting. I ain't got to beat you up. If you're tired of being on it, you will follow directions. If you're tired of being on it, the only reason why you got to make somebody do something is because they ain't tired of being on it. When you find a sponsee that's tired of being on it, you ain't got to make them do nothing. Be careful about people. You got to make them do something. You wasting your energy because they ain't tired of being on it yet. If you go back out, that means you were never with us in the first place. Your body was here, but your heart wasn't with us. If you tired of being on it, you ain't got to worry about going back out. I was tired of being on it. I ain't been nowhere. My clean date, November 24th, 1996. I'm tired of being on it. I ain't going nowhere. So now, you got to get prepared to curb the message. Because you can't hear and not curb to somebody else. But you can't be the same person you was when you got here when you curb the message to somebody else. Now, here comes the work. This ain't no free lunch program. We want the reward without the labor. Stop trying to steal in here. You got to do something. As soon as you start getting better, here come the haters. Don't let nobody fool you. They out there. Everybody ain't glad you up in Because I was quiet, trying to mind my business, going to all the dances. I was having fun, but I wasn't saying nothing. As soon as I started sinning, I started having problems. Because I got charisma. I was young, good looking. I know how to dress. And a lot of times, when you got gifts like I grew up in the ghetto, I know all the games, I know how to talk, I know how to walk, I know how to move. Ain't nothing new under the sun. My mother was an addict. My mother gave me a GQ magazine when I was 12. She said, read that. So I know how to play the game. But when I start talking, I start having problems. People who used to like me ain't like me no more. A lot of men ain't like me because they thought I was shining hard at all the women. I wasn't trying to mess with nobody because my mother was an addict and I know the problem she went through and you need to heal. So why would I mess with you and you in the same condition she was in? You need healing, not sex. So when I see y'all, I see my mama. So I wasn't thinking about that. But no matter where you go, somebody gonna like you. Let's tell the truth in here. So they started liking me. And I was liking some of them, one in particular. And I started bumping heads with people. And I said, why they mad at me? I'm just doing what God said to me. I started recovering. I started healing. I started changing. And let me tell you about haters. You're going to break this down. You ain't got to worry about it no more. Hate, when haters hate, they hate you for three reasons. It's three things about you that haters hate when they hate on you. Let me run it to you. They hate your style, they hate your status, and they hate your stamina. In that order. They hate your style. They hate the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you got your hair cut. They hate your earrings, your pocketbook, your shoes. They hate the way you share. They hate the way you do the meetings. They hate the way everybody like you. They hate your charisma. They hate the fact that you're trying to go spiritually. Haters hate your style. They hate the kind of car you drive, the kind of shoes you wear, your jewelry. They hate the way you dress the kids up, bring them to the meeting. They hate your style. They hate the way you carry the message, but the literature says in the traditions, my message, the way I carry the message, is based on my personality and my interpretation. Amen. They hate your style. Second of all, they hate your status. They hate the fact that God raised you up from a crackhead, gave you influence and authority in the community. You got a degree, you went back to school, you got your life back together, you got some paper, some letters behind your name. They hate your status. They hate the fact you used to be a dope fiend, now you work in a treatment center. They hate your status. They hate the fact that you used to be in and out of jail, now you went back to school, got a law degree. They hate your status. They hate the fact that you and your husband ran 20 years, y'all got on and broke up, came in recovery, got back together. They hate your status. And last but not least, they hate your stamina. They hate the fact that no matter what they try to do to you, you're still here. They hate your stamina. No matter how much they talk about you, no matter how much they lie on you, no matter how much they dab your name behind your back, no matter how much they backstab you, they hate your stamina. No matter how much they lie on you, talk about you like a dog, try to mess with your girlfriend behind your back, your boyfriend, try to break y'all up, come between you and your friends, your sponsor, your network, they hate your stamina. So next time somebody hate on you, it's for one of them three reasons. Your style, your status, or your stamina. But most haters hate you for all three. Don't let nobody fool you. I ain't done nothing to nobody. I ain't cussed nobody out. I ain't throw no chair at nobody. Why they mad at me? They hate your style. So I started working on me. Second step. Couldn't believe in the power of being yourself that could restore you to sanity. You know what restores us to sanity other than handcuffs? It's love.
It's the love that restores us to sanity. So when I start recognizing that God loved me, I start healing. I came out of depression. Depression is depending on yourself. That's why you're depressed, because you need a miracle and you think you can do it. Depression comes from depending on you. So when I stop depending on me, I stop being depressed. Wow. What a revelation. When I stop depending on me, I stop being depressed. Because now I know God got it. If he can get me off track, he can do anything. So it wasn't hard to go into the third step. Because God loves us so much, the literature says we are confronted with evidence. Do you know what that word confronted means? That's an aggressive word. I love you so much that I'm going to confront you that I'm real. So in other words, in the second step, God passed out testers. Check this out and let me know how this is. Come back and holler at me after you get some of this. God passed out testers in the second step. And if you was out there, y'all know how it is. They don't give testers to just anybody. Why they do that? Because they gotta trust you with the tester. They gotta trust you to tell them that if the dope is good, it's good, or if the dope ain't, it ain't. Everybody don't get a tester? Come on. Oh, y'all trying to act like y'all forget. They don't give testers to anybody. Come on, talk to me in here. In the second step, God passed out testers. So in the third step, you make a decision if you want some work or not. Because we're trying to get to the message. But we got to work through the disease, through the steps. Third step, make a decision. Turn it over. Look at the results. Look at the evidence. Look where you are now. And look where you've been. Either keep going forward or go back to the shelter. Go back to the crack house. Go back to jail. Go back to being on food stamps. Go back to being on it. Go back to being nothing. So it wasn't hard to make a decision in three. Fourth step. All roads lead to home. My foster gave me a four-step package. Childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. So you can see the progression of the disease. Oh, yeah. 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 So he give it to me, and I go in, because I don't want to be on it no more. If you tired of being on it, it ain't no work, it ain't no struggle. I don't want to be on it no more. Childhood, this is what happened. That's what happened. I was like this. I was like that. Adolescence, oh, it was tricky. I was lonely. I was tired. My mother was on it. My skin was bad. I felt like an outcast. And then God said, you got to be an outcast before you can be an attraction. I had to make you an outcast to humble you, because you can't carry the message with ego and arrogance, thinking you all that. You got to be humble to carry the message. So you got to see your flaws before I let you flow. Your flaws keep you humble while you're flowing. But you can't flow and not look at your flaws. I wish I had some help. You want to flow under your own power. I thought I was all that when I was young and recovered. And then God had to show me something. Got with my sponsor in the fifth step, got naked, had a 5-hour conversation. The first real conversation I ever had with another human being in my life. Fifth step, I came out the dark, got all that weight off me, told him some of the stuff I told y'all about my mama. My father was an alcoholic. I had a sister. She gave birth to her first child at 15. Just all messed up. And I thought that was all I had to do, was drop that load in 5. You ever help somebody move out their house? You get all the furniture out the house, and you think you're finished. And they look at you, and you look at them and say, all right, we got all the stuff out the house. That's it, right? And they say, nah, I got stuff in storage. I had some stuff in storage. And I said, well, when are we going to move the stuff out the stores? He said, you got to go through the 6th step.
See, in the sixth step, you find out what you got in store. Yeah. Clean and crazy. So I said, what you mean by that? He said, you ain't out the woods yet. He said, now you're going to see yourself. And everybody else going to see you. You can't hide in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm sorry. If you think you can hide in Narcotics Anonymous, you can't hide in Narcotics Anonymous. Especially if you're from Washington, D.C. Everybody know you. Everybody know everybody. Everybody know your mama, your father, who you mess with, who you used to mess with, who you mess with in high school, the first person you got pregnant. You can't hide in Narcotics Anonymous. One of the main things that happen to us to make us see ourselves is toxic relationships. Can we go there, woman? That means you hurting, they hurting, y'all get together and hurt each other. That's what it means. Yeah. That way I was going through that, I'm like, what's wrong with me? Because I still had an image. And because all roads lead to home, because my mother was like that, every woman I met, I was trying to find somebody to love me like my mother and love me like my woman at the same time. And can't nobody do that. So I was putting undue pressure on innocent people. I was becoming an emotional thief. Robbing people of their emotions. So one night, after I tried to rob somebody and couldn't get them, I tried to find somebody else to give me some special attention. And this one incident, I'm ashamed to share. But when I came to Ocean City, I read a sign on the beach. And that sign said, dump your trash and leave your footprints. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dump my trash and leave my footprints. So I pick her up, and she didn't give me what I wanted. And I don't know what it is about some people trying to give you a fake blowjob. What is that all about? Giving you a blowjob, not a real one, but make you think you're getting a real one. I said, hold up, boo, stop playing with me. You know, I don't go for that. And I beat her up. And 7 days later, I seen her in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Then God said, are you ready now? Yeah, come entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Not to act, but why did you do it? Fear, insecurity, and low self-esteem. All roads lead on. Well, what's the way out? Seventh step. Prayer. This is the road to spiritual growth. Now watch this. In the seventh step, you're just praying. Trying to get closer to God. That's all you're trying to do. And if God can get you off crack, what makes you think he can't get you off them defects you got? Because in order to smoke crack, you got to believe in miracles. You can't be on a pipe and not believe in miracles. Come on, talk to me in here. Bullets flying past you, jumping over brick walls, leaping over fences in a single bound, escaping the police, dodging bullets, running out the mall with a handful of clothes. You can't smoke crack and not believe it, bro. Why you be on it and not believe in miracles? You got to be crazy. So God starts telling me this. You can't be on it and not believe in miracles. You got to flip it on the other side. Now you're in recovery. Because the miracle is in the message that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. You ain't got to be on it no more. The message is hope and the promise is freedom. So I had to transform in seven. But you can't transform until you've been informed. That's why we got literature to inform you. Inform, change you from the inside out. So then you ain't got to stop spending all your money no more. You know how we try to do change from the outside in. Spending money we don't have, buying stuff we don't need, trying to impress people we don't even like. You need to be informed. Make a list, put the names there. God said a
God in control. 10th step, keep you from resentment. The 10th step is the key to getting out the triangle of self-obsession. Real simple. Resentments come from the lack of revenge. We got resentments against people that did something to us and we wasn't able to get them back. That's the only reason why we mad. You still mad at her? Yeah, I'm still mad at her. Why? Because I ain't got back yet. Resentments come from the lack of revenge. 11th step. Prayer and meditation. Keep you on the right track. Keep you carrying the message to the addict who still suffer. Because I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know who need me. I don't know what God's trying to send me. But I got to stay clear of all the resentments to keep my spirit open so I can hear from God to go where he's trying to send me. And God said, you think you have stuff? Do you think you know how to carry the message? Do you think you want to be used by me? Let me show you something, son. I was coming from St. Luke's at a speaker's jam. I got on the subway, waiting for the train. There's a man standing on the edge of the tracks. Because he needed a message. Trash bag next to him. Y'all know the look. He just got put out. Had a baseball cap down his eyes. He's standing on the edge of the track. He need a message because of the disease. I'm standing by from here to where the gentleman had no orange shirt. The train coming, the lights blinking. The lady upstairs said, sir, step back off the gray area. God talking to me, say something to him. He stepped back, the train come, he jumped. Because he needed a message. But I was so concerned about me. I was worrying about me. You can't carry the message worrying about yourself. You can't carry the message in fear of your own self, worrying about your own insecurities, worrying about your own inadequacy. It ain't about you. So I'm standing there in fear. God says, say something. I'm scared. Because I'm scared if I get too close to him, if the train come, he's going to pull me with him. So he jumps. Train cut him in half. And I'm standing there in fear. And I can hear God clearly. God said all I wanted you to do was say something to him. It wasn't going to be you talking to him. It was going to be me talking through you to him. But he jumped and he died because he needed a message. I had 4 years clean and I was worrying about myself. So ever since that day, every time God tell me to share, I share. Every time God tell me to go, I go. Because I don't want nobody else jumping off the track on me. So if you don't like me, don't like me. If you got a problem with me, have a problem. I don't want nobody else to jump off the track on me. The 12 steps say we must be visible and available. I was visible, but I wasn't available. Stop getting clean and leaving us. We need you to be visible and available. I got some friends, they spiritual like me, but I ain't never came up missing in our college and all. I always kept coming to the meeting. No matter how much God elevated me, I ain't never left. And they always talk about, man, I don't go to the meetings no more, because they ain't where I'm at. Well, where are you? Where are you? You need to be visible and available. They need the message because they got a disease. So when my mother was on her deathbed, I needed a message. I'm rubbing her arm. She in a coma and tears running down her face. She was trying to tell me something. So the only reason why I'm here and I stay here, because I want to go to heaven. And I want to hear her tell me what she was trying to tell me. What was the message? What was she trying to tell me? One disease. One message. Don't let nobody fool you. Every recovering addict got a past. And every still suffering addict got a future. My name is Bob. Thanks for letting me share.